proceed to Mullen versus Temco Machinery. Sauer?
May it please the Court, my name is Quincy Sauer, and I represent the appellant John W. Mullen II. Your Honors, this Court should reverse the District Court decision for two reasons. First, Mr. Mullen presented a convincing mosaic of evidence that he was terminated because of his age. Second, Mr. Mullen presented sufficient evidence that the reasons offered for his termination were pretextual. Mr. Mullen presented evidence that he was both the oldest and best-performing sales associate on Temco's Indiana sales team. Mr. Mullen also presented evidence that he was terminated on Thursday, May 13, 2010, and the very next day, on Friday, May 14, 2010, two Indiana sales associates, ages 24 and ages 29, were hired to attend the sales conference in Wisconsin at the Pierce Manufacturers plant on behalf of Temco. Further, Mr. Mullen presented evidence of age comments made by the decision maker under oath. In Mr. Mercula's deposition, Mr. Mercula is the president and CEO of the employer Temco. When asked, what are Mr. Wolka's strengths? Mr. Wolka was a 24-year-old who was hired the very next day after Mr. Mullen's termination. He said, well, he was a young individual, to put it mildly, very, very inexperienced. And our thought process on him was he was a young guy. Give him a shot to drive around the state showing fire trucks and learn the business. This is direct evidence that the thought process on hiring Mr. Wolka was because of his youth.
Didn't they also say that that was a downside to the youth of the two?
Yes, Your Honor. He testified that the youth was also a weakness. However, he made the decision to hire Mr. Wolka, which shows that he ended up preferring the youthfulness over the other qualities, but the decision was based on age. Mr. Mullen has further presented evidence.
Or in spite of the age.
Sure, how is the age a weakness? The testimony by Mr. Mercula was that he used age as a consideration in the decision to hire Mr. Wolka.
You're saying it was a plus and a minus, and your reading of that exchange is that the plus of the age outweighed the minus of the age.
Yes, Your Honor, because the decision was ultimately made to hire Mr. Wolka. So age was a factor that was considered in both a strength and a weakness. The simple fact that age was considered at all is an impermissible consideration when making the decision to terminate an employee and replace him with a considerably younger employee. It's the same as considering person's race or a person's religion or a person's gender in making an employment decision. Here, age is an impermissible consideration, and the Age Discrimination Employment Act was passed specifically to prevent this type of discrimination in the workplace. Mr. Mullen has also presented sufficient evidence of pretext. He's presented evidence of shifting reasons. The reason given to Mr. Mullen at the time of his termination by Temco was, we're paying you too much for your sales. He was simply told that he was being terminated because he's being paid too much for his sales. After Mr. Mullen's termination on March 13, 2010, the company has come up with a variety of constantly changing, shifting reasons that are either blatantly false, and Mr. Mullen has provided many forms of evidence in the form of declarations to show that these reasons are false, or at a minimum, they are disputed. For example, the straw that broke the camel's back and led to Mr. Mullen's termination, Mr. Mercula, the president and CEO of the company, testified that the straw that broke the camel's back was an incident where Mr. Mullen left customers from the Westfield Fire Department wandering around the Pierce factory alone. However, Mr. Mullen presented evidence in the form of three affidavits from all three customers who attended that factory visit with him, from Chad Everett, Dennis Everett, and Joe Lyons, saying that they were not left alone wandering around the Pierce factory. In fact, the district court even noted that this seemed to lean towards a phony excuse But the district court concluded that this was not a genuine issue of material fact. We believe
So your basic theory with all of these additional reasons, all what I'll call the performance-based reasons, as I understand your argument, Mr. Mullen has presented evidence not just to show that the decision-maker was mistaken in thinking that these flaws were there, but that the decision-maker was actually lying about it, that it was that phony.
Yes, Your Honor. We have presented evidence to show that both Mr. Mikula and Mr. Balog were lying about the reasons that they gave for the termination. Neither Mr. Balog nor Mr. Mikula could remember specific names related to the excuses or justifications that they gave for the termination decision. A reasonable jury could evaluate that evidence and conclude that if that truly was the reason for the termination, then they may have remembered those details or further kept the records. There are certain records.
You have an issue of these reports, the contact reports, I guess, that were destroyed after the EEOC complaint?
Your Honor, there's a genuine issue of material fact as to the specific date that the contact records were destroyed. Mr. Mullen filed his EEOC charge of discrimination on November 8, 2010, the same year that he was terminated. And Mr. Balog, his last day of working at the company was December 31st, 2010. The company received notice of the EEOC mailed out the notice of the charge of discrimination the day after Mr. Mullen filed it on November 9th, 2010. Mr. Mikula instructed his administrative assistant to discard the contact reports. So in light of this evidence, a reasonable jury could conclude that the destruction of the evidence happened after Mr. Mullen did file his charge of discrimination and the employer received notice. Moreover, the company has a record retention policy that requires the company to keep all sales records for 4 years, yet these contact reports were not kept. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sauer. Mr. Layden.
May it please the Court, Daniel Layden on behalf of Appalee Temco Machinery, Inc. We are here today with regard to Temco Machinery, Incorporated's motion for summary judgment, which was granted by the District Court. Mr. Mullen filed an age discrimination complaint. Temco Machinery filed for motion for summary judgment, and what the Court found was that there was no genuine issue of material fact as to whether there was any discriminatory intent on the part of the employer.
So I found one thing the district court said puzzling, because this is a case, to pick up with one of the later points that Ms. Sauer was making, where there's an allegation of shifting explanations. And I have to say, these do not strike me at all as expansions of the, quote, "we're paying you too much," close quote, rationale. "We're paying you too much" looks like a financial decision. You know, maybe you terminate a person altogether if you're trying to save money. Companies do that all the time, and I'm not sure I'd have any problem with that. To go from that to saying you didn't show up, you know, at the Speedway Fire Department's event, or you didn't stay with the people at the Westfield Company's plant tour, these are completely different explanations. They are not expansions of "we're paying you too much."
And Judge Wood, I think what the court found was the statement "we're paying you too much for your sales" was your performance was not satisfactory.
But that's not what it said. I mean, it just said that. And indeed, if that's what it found, we have a backdrop of not only the 2008 and 2009 awards showing that he was the best person there, but also his record thus far in 2010 up to the time of his termination. So, you know, I don't know who would win this case, but it strikes me that there are significant disputed issues about the bona fides of these alleged performance flaws that would need to be resolved by a trier of fact.
Well, and I think what the court found was the court looked at these amplified reasons, and the court determined them to be amplified reasons that were supported by the record.
And I'm saying we are on de novo review here, and you know I have great respect for all of the district judges in our circuit. They do good work. But it's our job to look at this record now to see if we think these are amplified reasons or to see if we think this is a situation in which there are genuine issues of material fact that would require a trial.
And that's certainly true. And I think what this tribunal should look at is look at the record. And what you'll see in the record is that when Mr. Balog, the gentleman who was brought in to right the ship because of the struggling sales operations, when he was brought in, he instituted new reforms for the sales staff to comply with. And
no,
I think the record shows,
that.
Judge Wood and Your Honors,
that.
The record shows that there were contact reports that were required by Mr. Mullen.
And why were they destroyed?
The record, what it shows, based on Mr. McCullough's testimony, was that Mr. Balog, and it's in the record, he resigned effective October 21st of 2010. When he resigned, he left materials in his office, and Mr. McCullough was asked by the assistant what to do with the records, and he said to discard them. There's no evidence in the record, A, either of bad faith or any intention on his part to discard the contact report.
But you're making two arguments. On the one hand, you're saying these contact reports are vital records for the monitoring of the sales associates and assessing how well the company is doing. And on the other hand, you're saying that these records are so trivial that they can just be tossed in the shredder or the garbage can when somebody vacates his office. I don't find that terribly persuasive. And the other thing, you had a little excerpt of some deposition testimony in your brief. I think in terms of the attendance at the Monday morning meetings, Mr. Mullen's testimony is that everybody would sometimes be at the meetings and sometimes not if there was a sales call that had to be made, if a fire chief was going to meet with you that morning. So I wasn't so blown away by those exchanges as I think you might have been.
Well, I think what the court and what I believe this court should also so find is that Mr. Balog expected his sales staff to be there, and that Mr. Mullen thought it was more important to meet with a customer or anybody else for that matter, other than attend that Monday morning sales meeting.
But what he says a couple of times is, he says there were many days someone did not show up. It was unavoidable in this business. And then he says every meeting in the company is moved around, different things like this. He also, you know, he says a couple of times that everyone has to make these adjustments. It's not just him flouting Mr. Balog's authority.
And I think what this court should be mindful of is the legal standard. The legal standard, Your Honor, is that this convincing mosaic that was...
Which we are trying to abolish. I have just recently written an opinion saying there is no mosaic test. There's either circumstantial evidence that's enough to allow somebody to go forward, or there isn't. But the mosaic metaphor has really been driven into the ground.
And this evidence, this circumstantial evidence, Your Honor, it must point directly to a discriminatory reason.
And if none of the other reasons offered holds any water, then you might be left with age.
Well,
a jury could so find.
That's correct, Judge Wood. But I think based on the record, based on Mr. Mullen's own testimony, he has lost sales that he knew his employer was upset.
Everybody lost sales.
Based on the fact he failed to attend the Monday morning sales meetings.
But sometimes.
Based on, Judge Wood, the contact reports. Based
on... That don't exist, that we can't look and compare his contact reports with anybody else's.
Well, I think what the record shows, undisputably, based on the email communications between Mr. Mullen and Mr. Balog, it shows he had not been keeping track of his contact reports.
But it doesn't tell us about comparative to anybody else. It doesn't tell us whether anyone else's record of getting them turned in was any better. We don't have emails that give us this picture. If we had the reports, we could actually make that assessment.
Well, we think, Your Honor, we think that the district court correctly reasoned that all of this evidence, which is undisputed,
it's disputed, actually. I mean, you have a huge amount of disputed evidence.
Well, I think the evidence as to the contact reports and evidence as to the Monday morning sales meetings, evidence as to his sales performance, Your Honor, I think it was undisputed. The district court so found that was undisputed and put aside as not material the disputed evidence that was raised in these affidavits the counsel talked about as to the events at Westfield, as to the events at...
So, in other words, you're just not relying on 90% of the reasons you've given to justify this firing.
No,
you're
we are.
You're backing off from most of them.
No, we are, Your Honor. We believe the record does show, in fact, that the reasons that were provided, poor performance, lack of cooperation on the part of Mr. Mullen, was sustained by the record and is sustained by the record. And the court so found that it was not disputed, and they being Mr. Mullen, was required to raise a genuine issue of material fact such that a reasonable jury could find and infer.
We know the standard, I assure you.
So yeah. we don't believe, Your Honor, that he has raised that genuine issue of material fact.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Layden. Ms. Sauer?
Your Honors, I'd like to address just one quick point. With respect to the Monday morning sales meetings, Mr. Mullen's evidence showed that he was actually customer-focused, and he would attend the Monday meetings with the fire chiefs and their staff because it presented a good opportunity to sell a fire truck.
That is to say, he decided that rather, pardon me, he decided that rather than go to the meeting called by the boss, he'd go on his own sales route.
No, Your Honor. Mr. Mullen would inform Mr. Balog that he was going to be meeting with the fire chief instead.
And that is to say, I'm not going to be at your meeting. I'm going to be someplace else.
Exactly, that he was going to be attempting to sell
a fire
chief.
Did he tell him, or did he ask him?
There's not specific evidence about every single conversation that evolved.
Was the conversation that I'm going to do what I want to do as opposed to what you want to do?
No, Your Honor.
Well, how was it? Give it to me in hoc verba, as we say in the old country.
Mr. Mullen simply instructed Mr. Balog that if he was not at the Monday morning sales meeting, it was because he was either in Wisconsin at the factory or he was with customers. As Judge Wood pointed out, the standard for these cases...
Well, wait a minute. Did the boss agree to this position that was taken by your client?
There's no evidence in the record that Mr. Balog ever told Mr. Mullen that he was being terminated for his failure to attend the Monday morning sales meeting.
He just didn't show.
No, Mr. Mullen did show.
How did he communicate with him?
They communicated by phone. They communicated by email.
Which did he do? Which did the record show he did?
With respect to the Monday morning sales meetings, there's no specific testimony at all.
So we don't know what he did, whether he showed up or didn't notify? How do you know he notified if there was nothing in the record?
Your Honor, that's why there's a genuine issue of material fact as to whether Mr. Mullen was completing his reasonable expectations
or not. I thought you told
me
the record showed that he communicated and told him he wasn't going to be there. He was going to be someplace else. Didn't you tell me that?
Yes, sorry.
Well, what's in the record that shows that he said? And how did he do it?
Mr. Mullen, through his deposition testimony, testified that he told Mr. Balog that if he was not...
Wait a minute. Go ahead. Lay it on me.
In Mr. Mullen's deposition, he testified that he told Mr. Balog that he was at the Pierce factory in Wisconsin or...
Did he say it after the meeting, after he had missed the meeting, or before he missed the meeting?
Before.
He said in his deposition, he noted, did he say how?
The testimony in the deposition was not specific to each and every Monday morning.
So the answer is no, we don't know how he communicated this to him.
There's no evidence in the record with respect to that.
Was that fact admitted by the boss, or did he say no? What did he say?
Mr. Balog testified that Mr. Mullen and other sales associates required Mr. Balog to reschedule Monday morning sales meetings on occasion.
On occasion. So some meetings were attended.
Yes, Your Honor. Your Honors, I see that my time has expired.
I think Jacqueline had a question.
No, no, I'll defer to.
Oh, before. Okay. You may complete your thought.
Final thought. Your Honors, recently in the case of Morgan versus SCT, which is a case that was decided after our briefs were filed, and I'm happy to submit a copy to the court clarified that the standard is not that the plaintiff must create a mosaic that comes together to form a tidy, coherent image in order to survive summary judgment. The plaintiff must simply produce sufficient evidence to create a genuine issue of material fact. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Layden. Thank you, all counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will stand in recess.